All right. Hey, guys. Welcome. This is Justin, the Guardian Allstead, and I am here with Gabe Isbell.
Hello, everybody.
And we are going to do episode 2 of Grill, Gabe, and the Guardian, which is basically a podcast of sorts where you guys can submit questions to us, and we will give our thoughts, opinions, discuss, debate, whatever the question calls for. So for this episode, we've got a couple questions from one of the players out there, and then Gabe and I are actually going to ask each other a couple questions from our experiences at this past Nationals.
I'm going to try and make it a hard one. Got to stump Justin.
Yeah, it'll be stump Gabe and the Guardian here. So the two questions we have from a player actually come from Noah W. He is triple play number 3 on the forum. Noah and his two brothers, they are triplets from Wisconsin. Not as well known, I don't think, because there's not a lot of redemption stuff in Wisconsin right now, but these guys are really good players. They've come to a lot of Minnesota tournaments, including the Type 2 only and past regionals.
They've traveled down to Iowa a couple times as well. If you play in the Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin area, you fear these guys. They are quality players, and they will give you a challenge every time you face them.
Yeah, most definitely. I've played all of them, I think, at least once. It's sometimes hard to keep track. But yeah, every time I come into a game with these guys, I know it's going to be a tough game. I've won a few. I've lost a few.
Same here.
Yeah, they are all really good players. Noah especially had a really, really good year. He won a sealed deck at both Minnesota State and North Central Regionals, and then made top cut in Type 1 2 player at Nationals this year. So really, really good season for Noah. So he really had some great tournament runs. So
Noah was also the only person who beat me in Type 1 2 player this year. He beat me, I think, in the second or third round of the regular.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, so handed Gabe his only loss. So, yeah, that just tells you how good those guys are. I'd say I couldn't really pick one that's any better than the others. They're all very good players. So all definitely capable of making big runs at Nationals, which they've done in a couple of the past years. So,
yeah, they're all very nice young men as well. They're gentlemen. They're extremely bright. They're very kind-hearted and love Jesus. So I couldn't ask for more in a guy.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. So all right. Well, Noah gave us a bunch of questions, and we picked out a couple. So the first one was, when deciding what to cut and what to keep during the deck building process, what goes into your decision-making process of adding or removing certain cards over others? I'll let Gabe take the first crack at this one.
All right. Well, there's a lot of things that go into that. One of them is just the synergy that a card has with the other components in my deck, both offense and defense. I usually like my offense and defense to work together in some fashion. It's easier to do that sometimes than it is in others. But when you're building a deck, there's usually a long list of cards that can fit in, and I try and narrow it down to the cards that are going to function the best together. They're going to interact the best. They're going to give me the most consistency. And another thing I really look for in a card is versatility. I look for versatility in a card, because you get more options. A card that I use in my deck this year that I just feel is extremely versatile, it'll just be a good example of this, is Faith of Abel. I can play it as territory class to remove a site. I can play it as territory class to remove an artifact. Or I can play it in battle on some of my green or clay heroes as a battle winner. So that's what I'm talking about when I say versatility, a card that can do a lot of things and helps me in a lot of situations. So I try and keep things like that. And cards that are more narrow in their approach and more specific. For example, I had Family Bond in my deck for a little while because I needed a negate that would work on certain characters. And that, you know, actually fit, and I could play it on almost all the characters in my deck. But all it did was a single one-shot negate when I had special initiative and ended up not making the cut. That wasn't good enough. So that's an example of a card that ended up getting cut because it wasn't as versatile as I needed it to be.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Faith of Abel is a great example for that versatility. I think you even missed one there. I've used Faith of Abel to shuffle away a lost soul that was giving me trouble that my opponent had. Whether it was like a liner lost soul or maybe a fight by the number soul that was negating my souls. Yeah, I totally agree with Gabe as far as looking for cards that are the most versatile, giving you different options for, you know, whether it's offense, defense, what can I do, how can I make the most use out of this card? I think the dual alignment cards are great examples of just highly versatile cards, whether it's the characters or the enhancements. Versatility is so huge. As far as a couple things that I like to look at, I'll go off of past experience with cards. What cards have worked for me in the past that have been reliable? What cards am I haven't worked where I've tried to get a certain combo or a certain play to work and it just never seems to happen? As good as it might look on paper, where it just either I don't need it or it just never materializes. I'm looking at cutting cards like that when I kind of get to the final, like, all right, I want to trim this deck, or I think I need to add one more card. Oftentimes my past experience will come into play there. The flip side of that, though, is, you know, how the meta changes and cards that worked in the past or didn't work in the past all of a sudden kind of get reversed because the meta changes, it shifts. New cards come out, and all of a sudden we have the Colosseum or the Moses type effect where you're all of a sudden using cards that you never used before, and you're cutting cards that last year would have just been absolutely nonsense to cut from your deck.
Yep.
So the meta shift, for sure plays a role in any deck building process, as it should. If you're doing it the right way, I guess, you want to be looking at shifts in the meta. I think one example, JD's deck, JD and I played a lot of games online, and we started realizing the value of a card like Guardian of Your Souls when everyone's using the old Falling Away. And JD ran Guardian of Your Souls in Type 1 at Nationals and paid off huge for him. Made it to Top Cut, made it to the semifinals, and just a card that really kind of fell out when the Dom Cap hit. We just kind of realized that, yeah, this actually makes a big difference when everyone is running the old Falling Away. So, yeah, definitely a lot that goes into it, but I think the versatility and paying attention to the meta are probably the two biggest things that I look for.
Another thing that I thought of when you were sharing what your thoughts there, Justin, is the support cards. And I would call a support card, oftentimes it's going to be a site, a fortress, an artifact, covenant, curse. There's only room for a certain number of those in a deck, whether it's type 2 or type 1. I might be able to fit more of those cards in a type 2 deck sometimes, but there's usually a whole bunch of them that I'd like to fit in my deck, but I only have a very small number of card slots for those type of cards because they don't actually help you win usually. Sometimes they can make a big difference, but oftentimes they're counters to what opponents are doing. And the game is developed to the point where you just can't counter everything. You have to pick and choose, kind of like Justin's saying, cards that are really good in the current meta. What do I expect to see? And what cards are going to be really good against the things I think I'm going to see? And sometimes it's a guessing game. Sometimes you guess wrong. Sometimes you guess right. It helps to get practice under your belt and have a feel for what's good. But cutting those support cards is definitely one of the first things that go when I'm trying to trim a deck down.
Sure. Yeah, I think, and that was one of the things that when I built my Type 2 deck from this past year, or this past Nationals, I decided that as far as support cards for my artifacts and my curses, I included 3 copies of Household Idols and 3 copies of Rain Becomes Dust. And I literally said, I want one or both of these active all the time. And I'm just not going to worry about, there was plenty of other artifacts that I would have loved to add to that deck. that probably would have done all right, but sometimes it's just, you got to think, you know, if I want to have this artifact active the entire game, is there any point to adding, you know, other artifacts? I think back to your deck, Gabe, a couple years ago, the Isaiah Assyrian deck, where you had Covenant with Death and Darius's Decree, and just basically planning to use both of those the entire game, whichever one you had or whichever one made more sense, and just not running a ton of other stuff.
Yep.
So really staying away from, you know, just, oh, adding this card because it's really cool and I can do this one thing one time with it, as opposed to just, you know, sticking with what your strategy is and not branching too far off.
Yeah, that's a great point, Justin.
All right, well, we have another question from Noah. His second question, or the second one that we picked, how long does it take you to get familiar with a deck or strategy to the point where decision-making in a game under pressure is more intuitive?
Well, for me, that's going to vary depending on the deck, and not just the deck, but the style of deck. I tend to pick up on an offense-oriented deck or a fast deck a little quicker than I do a defense-heavy deck. I really enjoy both styles, but it takes me longer to pick up on. I honestly feel like defense-heavy decks are harder to play. Having won Nationals that last year, I think John would probably agree. I remember him telling me at one point that like the first three turns of the game are the most stressful, and then after that, once he kind of gets control, things become a little easier. But every decision in those early points of the game with a defense heavy deck is crucial. And if you're making a wrong choice, then you end up losing a lot of times.
Yep. Might be too late.
Yep. It can just take one mistake, one failed block. And so it really depends on the style of deck for me. Sometimes it can just be a few games and I feel like I have it down. There's always fine tuning that comes into the play. And sometimes it can take several games, or some decks I just never really get comfortable with and I abandon, even though it could be a completely solid strategy.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much in the same boat where, you know, and I think for me it comes more to, have I used this type of deck or this strategy before?
Absolutely.
And, you know, especially in type two, you can do a little bit more as far as, you know, you're usually a little more focused on one strategy on offense and one on defense. There, you know, there's still something to be said about synergy, but you have a big enough deck where you don't need every offensive card to have synergy with every defensive card. And so you can make a lot of different pairings, offense and defense. And so for me, when I'm putting a deck together, it's like, well, have I used this offense before? Have I used this defense before? But then it does still take time to figure out, okay, you know, I haven't used this pairing before. Where's the synergy? What am I not seeing just by looking at a deck list, that the synergy is? Actually, a great example tonight, I was playing a game with Bill Voigt, playing a Type 2. We didn't get to play at Nationals, so he came over and we played a Type 2 game. And I realized there was a play that I made that I didn't make at all during Nationals, where I was using the Angel of Warning to search for a site, to search out my Damascus site, to pull an evil character out of my deck. So I was literally using a hero to tutor out an evil character that I just never even considered before. You know, I obviously have the Damascus sites in there because it's a Syrian-based defense. And I have Angel of Warning in there mostly to look at people's hands and kind of see what's up, what I'm going against. But I was having some evil character drought early in the game, and I thought, you know what, if I search for my Damascus and put it in play, I get to search out an evil character. So that was just a point of synergy that I didn't even see once, you know, in six games at Nationals. And it wasn't until this was the ninth game I've played with the deck that I realized that play and was like, oh yeah, well that makes total sense. So it, you know, that's kind of the fun part for me, is when you put a deck together and you might have played it many, many times, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, my deck does this. I didn't even realize it. And it's just, that's kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, that is fun. And that really is a good point, where you put a card in for a specific purpose, but that card may have more than one ability. And you don't always think about options that come with those other abilities until you have more practice with your deck. Obviously, he didn't put that angel in to tutor out the sight, to tutor out an evil character. He was there to look at the hand. So you may sometimes you overlook some really good and really obvious plays because you have a card for different intentions.
So yeah, so that's kind of the long answer. Short answer is that it really depends on the deck, like Gabe said, the style. I think the experience you've had with the type of deck or the strategies within the deck. As far as you know, there's probably no set number of like, oh, you have to play, you know, you should play 10 games of the deck before you know what the best decision is, because it's again, every game is different. Every game has different situations, and that's just part of the fun of playing, I think.
You know, I would say a good rule of thumb for anybody that wants to do well at a tournament and wants to be competitive is to get as many reps in with your deck against as many different style decks as you can.
Yep.
Play against a large number of people with a variety of different decks. When I used to play online a lot, I would try and do that with my decks as I was tuning them for the tournament season. I would specifically try not to play the same person with the same deck ever, and I would see how many different people with different decks I could rack up. And I kept track of results and outcomes and what they used and all that stuff, and that was really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't actually recommend what I did this year as far as building your deck the night before. To be honest, I was going into the tournament, I just wanted to play something different and have fun, and I was fortunate that things kind of broke my way in a couple games, and I ended up winning. But yeah, typically if I'm going into a tournament with the idea that, yeah, I really want to win this one, I'm not using a deck I built the night before. Some people, that's their thing. It's typically not mine. That was just kind of a I want to try something different moment for me. So,
generally speaking, it's a bad idea. Not too many people can pull that off. Justin is a rare gem.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that was the two questions from Noah. And now Gabe and I are going to kind of exchange questions based on our experiences at Nationals. With Gabe winning Type 1, 2 player and myself winning Type 2, we figured we would ask each other a question about those respective categories. So the question I have for Gabe is, having played 10 rounds of Type 1, 2 player, what card do you think was missing in quotes, from the decks that you faced, i.e. a card that you think is so strong that it should be in most decks, but you did not end up seeing very much of it in your games?
I can't necessarily pick just one card. Two come to mind right away. Okay. One of them is the Punisher Lost Soul. It's the Lost Soul that if your opponent has more than three brigades in play, it negates all of their heroes. I did see that in a couple games, but as effective and as good as that was, I didn't see it nearly as often as I should have. It wasn't really until I got to the top eight, I think, that I really started seeing that in every deck. So that should tell you something. If a lot of the players in the top eight were running that, you probably want to think about putting that in your deck. It should be high on the list of souls you're considering.
Absolutely.
And it was a real pain for me, something I had to work around. Another card that I literally didn't see all day, and this was probably to my benefit, but that's Jericho. The cloud counter built into Jericho would have been good against everybody I played all day. And everybody has cloud heroes in their deck. There's so many awesome cloud heroes, and they cover every brigade. So people are running them, and Jericho's going to work if you get it. The thing is, you have to draw it. And I think the only person I played all day that had it was Brian Jones, that I played in the final round. And I want to say that it either didn't show up for him, or it showed up at the very end of our game where it didn't matter. So I didn't see Jericho all day, and I feel like I probably should have.
Yeah, that's interesting. To be honest, I'm not sold on Jericho. Maybe this is something that we kind of have to disagree on a little bit. For me, I think about the heroes that I'm facing with Jericho, and it's obviously Moses, which, you know, because of Moses, maybe Jericho should be in almost every deck. But other than that, I don't see a lot of need for the CBP part, because for one thing, Moses has his own negates, the cloud negates Faith of Moses, and other cloud cards that can negate anyway. So, to be honest, I haven't been totally sold on Jericho. Now, to be fair, I haven't actually run it in a deck yet, so maybe I'm just, you know, the bias that comes with not trying it. But that's interesting that you think against your deck specifically, you felt it would have played a bigger role.
Against my deck, but also against other decks. The part on Jericho that's relevant says, while opponent controls a cloud hero, your evil cards cannot be prevented by good cards. That includes your characters. It definitely includes your enhancements. But there's some pretty strong characters that are getting negated. Now, the deck's called Because of Moses, but really the majority of my rescues are Joshua Captain. They won more souls for me than anything. And I see that in a lot of the throne decks as well. Not every throne deck runs Joshua Captain, but a lot of them do. There's Judges decks running Joshua Captain. There's a little bit of Strong Angel running around, but between Moses and Captain and Strong Angel, Fight by the Numbers has really made a comeback because of Colosseum. Yep. And the fact that it has kind of taken a lot of the can't be negated enhancements out of the meta. And that's allowed Fight by the Numbers to make this resurgence. But all these decks that are running Fight by the Numbers also have cloud heroes. So for your evil characters and your evil enhancements all to work, every single one of them against these Fight by the Numbers characters that are running around the meta, that just seems really good to me. But I'm like you, Justin. I haven't played Jericho a lot myself, and so I could be wrong on that. But Jericho carried Brian Jones to the top two at Nationals, so maybe there's something to be said for it.
Yeah, it's definitely a card that I want to look at more for this upcoming season. Just as, you know, and I was actually kind of surprised that that no one ran the mono silver Angels offense that Josiah used so effectively last year. I really felt like that was still a valid top tier offense. That's actually what I was planning to run if I had played Type 1. And obviously silver does rely a lot on the Strong Angel attacks and the Captain of the Host attacks. So,
yep.
Alrighty.
Well, Justin, my question for you, you're kind of what people might call a Type 2 player, and there's other people that would claim that they're a Type 1 player, but having been around the block many times, you've been playing this game for a lot of years. Do you believe there are actually Type 1 players and Type 2 players, or are they just redemption players?
Yeah, this is a question that I've tossed around and just on my own before. Thinking about, you know, what am I? Am I a Type 2 player? Am I a redemption player? I believe there are specific players. You know, obviously most Type 1 players who have played a lot of Type 1, they could pick up a Type 2 deck and, you know, could probably run it pretty easily, or at least understand. You know, a judge's Type 1 deck going from that to a judge's Type 2 deck is not a huge jump. Other Type 2 decks that are a little more maybe combo-ish or, you know, just have a couple maybe a different layer of strategy, that might be a little bit tougher for just your, you know, kind of dedicated Type 1 player to go to. But at the core level, most of the, you know, your top Type 1 players could slide into Type 2, I feel like. But there are other players that aren't, I think, just they don't have the mindset to play one or the other. Or it's just their mindset is so much better fitted to one type or the other. I know some players who say they will never play Type 2 because they just think it's silly, and, you know, that's fine. They can have that opinion.
I've heard people say the same about Type 1. I'm talking about you, Count Fount.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Some people make the switch to Type 2 because most people start in Type 1, and then some of them, you know, find the light and jump to Type 2. And never go back. And, you know, that's certainly, you know, some people just, they don't like the, and especially more when kind of speed decks and drawing decks were kind of the meta, you know, people that just didn't like the defenseless game, you know, moved to Type 2 where you have a balanced deck and you actually get to have battles most of the time. unless you're getting comboed by Clift or Kirk or, you know, someone like that, where you don't get to play. But, you know, those are kind of the oddballs. And now it's interesting, like, I've come back a little bit. I've played more Type 1 in the past couple of years than I ever have. And a lot of it has to do with Type 1 coming back, where it's a little bit more of a balanced meta. It's still probably a little bit offensive leaning, especially with the Cloud of Witnesses and the strong cards that came out with that. But especially like last year, there was just a very strong, balanced meta where your offenses and your defense were fairly even in a lot of the top decks. And I think that's something that, as a Type 2 player, like I like playing in that kind of Type 1 meta. So I see myself as a redemption player with Type 2 leanings. Maybe we can put it that way.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah, I enjoy playing both. You know, even at Nationals, I told a lot of people that, you know, I was willing to play either category, just whatever kind of the numbers to make things even. I would play whichever one, you know, would make sense to, so there wouldn't have to be a bye if possible. And that's how it ended up happening. You know, I played Type 2, but I was very willing and kind of intrigued by the thought of playing Type 1 and, you know, challenging myself to see if I could make top cut and all that. So yeah, type 2 player or redemption player with Type 2 leanings. I think there are people that are Type 1 players. They excel at that. I'm not saying they couldn't excel at Type 2, but they just, you know, their personality, their mindset as far as the game is more geared to Type 1 and vice versa for Type 2. There's some people that just, you know, they're comfortable in Type 2 and Type 1 can just, you know, be its own thing.
That makes sense. I find myself more in the middle there and just enjoying both categories. And oftentimes when they're paired against each other, I'm really torn as to what I'm going to play. It usually just comes down to which deck I think I'm going to enjoy more, a Type 1 deck or a Type 2 deck, whatever I have built at the time. So it's really tough. Transitioning from one format to the other is challenging as well, because of the different pace of the game, and then also because of the different rules, Rescuer's Choice and Experience Credit that come into play. I tend to, that tends to throw me off a little bit as well.
Yeah, there's definitely something to be said for that. You know, going from one type to the other, even playing, you know, going from like a Type 2 multi to a Type 1 2 player, that can certainly be a challenge. And just, you know, because it takes a completely different mindset. You know, with some core principles are obviously going to be the same, but most of the time you're going to find yourself, you know, if a particular situation happens in Type 1, it's going to require a way different reaction if it happens in Type 2 than it would in Type 1.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right, guys. Well, that is all we've got for this episode of Grill Gabe and the Guardian. Thanks for listening and hanging in there with us. If you have questions that you would like answered, feel free to submit them to myself, either on the forum. You can email them, leave a reply in the comments. A personal message on the forum is actually the preferred way. I save all of the questions that are submitted, and I just have a file on the forum in my message inbox where I can go back and pull from. So if you submitted a question and haven't had it answered yet, don't worry. We've only done two of these, so we've got hopefully a lot more of these to come in this upcoming season. And you know, never know. There could be some spoilers even. Who knows what'll happen in future episodes.
Thanks everybody for joining us. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Brought to you by 3LionsGaming.com.